coming. It's coming. No, I do not. No. No, I do not. I got it. Well, good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the study session of the University City Council meeting to order at 5:30 on December the 9th. You have before you the agenda for the upcoming public session. Are there any changes that will be coming forward that you know of? Mr. Rose.
Mayor, there's one change. I would like to move agenda item, I believe it's J3 to K, to the city manager's report section.
Okay. All right. Any other changes? Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. The city clerk has just pointed out to me that one of my nominations for reappointment this evening for the Historic Preservation Commission is actually termed out. So if we could strike the nomination for Donna Marin, which is F number 2, please.
Yep. We will take that up. Absolutely. Thank you. Hearing nothing else, Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, one of the most important responsibilities that we as government have is to make sure that our residents are informed about the activities of local government. Tonight, Allison Bamberger, who is our Director over Communications, will present to you the different forms that we use in order to accomplish that task. So I will turn things over to Allison.
All right. Everyone hear me? Okay. Hi, I'm Allison Bamberger, if we've not met before. I'm fairly certain I know everyone here. But tonight we'll go ahead and get started, kind of giving you an idea of where we've been in the last year and where we're going to be going in the coming year and forward beyond that. Just a quick overview. I'll talk a little bit about my philosophy in communications, some keys to good messaging, things that I think are best practices. We're going to talk about our major modes of external communication, that is how we reach the people that we reach every day. We'll talk about ROARS, social media, our website, videos that we've been doing, the calendar, which we've just finished and has been sent to the printer. So we'll have those 2020 calendars at doorsteps very soon. And then finally, we'll talk a little bit about the internal communication that we have with our own government and all of our own employees and stakeholders that we work with here. So just jump right in. Our communications philosophy: consistent and proactive communication builds trust. So in order to be good stewards of taxpayer money and to build trust with those that we serve, we need to be consistent, meaning the same day after day, week after week, month after month, and proactive in our communication. This is true both internally and externally. It is important to have consistent and proactive internal communications with our employees as well as it is with those outside, so that the left hand and the right hand really do know what's going on at all points and everybody feels both comfortable and ready to serve each other. Communication should be equal among residents, stakeholders, and the business community. That means across wards. That means across both UCity and Bloom, the Historical Society, COCA, anyone that we do business with should feel that they have an ability to communicate with us just as well as anyone else. Every resident should feel, regardless of their ability to use a smartphone, the internet, or anything else, that they should have an easy mode of communication between themselves and anyone here that they need in City Hall. Communication with people should be in the way that they want to be communicated with. Some folks prefer to get ROARS in the mail, in their hands. They want to have that calendar, put it on the fridge, and see it every day. Other folks would rather have ROARS available on their smartphone or on their tablet to be able to pull up whenever they want to remind themselves of what's going on, what date leaf collection is, or other things like that. Some folks want to get text messages when we've got the monthly siren test, or if there's something else going on, heaven forbid, with the police and we have a disaster. Some folks want to find out right away through a text. Other folks want to find out on the news or go to the website. There's lots of different ways that people like to be communicated with, and we should consider all of those and attempt to really reach people where they are. Some keys to messaging. All we do is to the benefit of our residents. I know that that's what I believe, and I know that that is what the council believes. Everything we do needs to better the lives of the residents, and our messaging needs to reflect that. All of our services should benefit residents in an efficient and convenient ways, going back to meeting people where they are with communication. How can we communicate efficiently, that being cost-effective, but also in a way that people can access easily and in many ways? Information to the public should be clear and concise, free from jargon when possible. We see this a lot when we've got road projects or different things that sometimes have pieces to them that are very technical, difficult for people to understand. When we can work together to make sure that we're talking to people in language that they understand, that's going to be the best communication and the best way to really reach folks and make sure everybody understands what we've got going on. Communication should exist in consistent ways, meaning that we're updating the website regularly, ROARS comes out at a regular time, our social media is updated consistently, and that there's other ways that we can communicate with folks. I mean, we've got regular council meetings, regular commission meetings, and that people really know about that. We should always share the most possible information that we can. We understand that sometimes there's things that we can't say yet, deals that aren't finalized, or in the case of especially public safety, there are just things that we can't say. But when we can say it, we absolutely should. And we should be responsive in our communications. When we put something out there, if there are lots of questions, we need to make sure that we answer those. Maybe it's not, you know, a quick, right away, 30 seconds later response, but when we can really dive deep and find the answer to questions for folks, we need to make sure that we are having that two-way street of communication. So some of our major modes of external communication, we've got ROARS, social media, we've got the website, and through that we have Notify Me. There are public meetings just like this and live stream, which hopefully we are working on right now. Hello to everyone at home. Our video update program that we've started this year, and of course the city calendar. We also internally look at email and staff meetings as some of the ways that we majorly do some internal communication. We'll talk a little bit about that at the end. So let's talk about ROARS. ROARS is something that in our citizen satisfaction survey scored incredibly high as far as how people like to receive communication and how effective they think that it is. So previously we mailed ROARS to homes every 2 months, so that's six times a year. Cost about $60,000 a year for printing and postage, and we decided and previously hired a design firm for each issue, about $24,000 a year. What I'm proposing for 2020 is to mail to homes every 3 months, so that's four times a year, but having online mini issues every month. So an example, in January, an issue will go to homes, that is January, February, and March, with information that covers all of those. But then in February and March, a smaller mini issue, maybe one page front and back, maybe four pages total, will be available both online, and then we'll have it printed out here at City Hall, at the library, and at Centennial Commons for folks. But it's that postage component that's very expensive, but this would be a way to still put out consistent updates to folks, more consistent than we have now, but in a cost-effective manner and in a way that I think a lot of residents would be able to access. The cost savings, approximately $10,000 a year in printing and postage, kind of, you know, varies depending on how much we do with ROARS, and it is designed in-house, of course, that cost savings then of $24,000, as I will be the one doing the design, layout, and printing. Our social media strategy, this is something that I feel very strongly about. I came in and looked at our social media, did a bit of an audit, and feel like I was able to refresh quite a bit. It is an incredibly popular way to engage with our residents and stakeholders. Most people go online for their information now, across all age ranges, even the 65 and up age demographic, which previously was thought to not be an online group of folks. Now more and more are getting information online from some trusted sources. It is good for social listening as well. I look through Nextdoor, Facebook. There are Facebook groups in University City, lots of different Nextdoor threads, Patch. There's lots of online ways for me to look and see what people are talking about. What are people caring about in their neighborhoods? What are they asking each other for? What are they confused about? We also, posts from the city should only come from official city pages. This is something I feel strongly about as well. I don't like to have to go and find Steve Smith's page where he said he has an issue with leaf collection and then go hunt that down and give him one response. If I see that people have questions about leaf collection, I'll create a post and I will put it on the city's page so that all of the information is coming from one concentrated place. Folks know where they can go to get the correct information and the information that's directly from the source. That's true for Facebook, Nextdoor, Twitter, and Instagram. We can build relationships with major social media participants who can help disseminate our messages. There are lots of people on Nextdoor, especially, who are neighborhood trustees or folks who just post quite a bit. I've spoken with those people many times and given them information that I have then asked them to pass on through their channels. And it's happened before, and it works well. It's something that we can always build on, and groups that I think we can trust. And then there's also all of our partner organizations like the Historical Society, U City and Bloom. I know Arts and Letters has a Facebook page that's very active, and so we've worked with them in the past to help put our message out as well. And social media archiving software is something that I think should be implemented. We can talk about the Sunshine Law more if you'd like to, if you have questions about it, but ultimately, as the Sunshine Law grows and changes, we will be required to be keeping track of all of our social media posts that we put out, as they will be considered public documents. I know that the Missouri legislature will be taking that up this session. Just looking at a snapshot of Nextdoor, we began our agency account in 2019. An agency account is different than a personal account in that it comes directly from me, and that it focuses kind of a different, it lets me post to a much larger audience than a personal account, and it kind of gives it a little bit more clout, more people see an agency account. We average about 5 posts a week, and then it's directly sent to about 8,000 registered residents, which is an estimated 30% of the 23,000 households in University City. It was rated second in most preferred ways to get information from the city in our citizen satisfaction survey. But I did want to ask, and we can talk at the end or now, what the council's expectations are of how often we post and things like that.
Honorable Mayor, Council members, one of the issues is that we made a decision at the staff level to do those postings on social media outlets that were outside of our own accounts. And so we had a discussion previously that if an incident occurred that we know will get media attention, that we should then place information out there, simply saying that we are aware of it, and our intention is to come back and provide as much detailed information as possible. I want to ensure that the council is comfortable with us posting that on Nextdoor, because that is not the norm for government organizations. I think increasingly it's becoming the norm, but it's not really the norm now. So, as long as everyone understands that and is okay with it, that's what we will what we'll do.
So, can there be a redundancy? I'd like to see it at least on our website, and some kind of a bullet that says, you know, important announcement or something like that, so that people don't have to hunt through pages. Because some of us are avoiding Nextdoor or other kinds of information. And I'm also kind of concerned about those people that do not have access or don't want access to the internet. So I'm kind of curious to see how we're going to address that.
We can ensure that we post it on both. Anything that mm-hmm. we post on Nextdoor, that we also post on our own web, Facebook or Twitter, I think.
That's right.
Yeah. I'd still like to see it on our thing. For some of us, Facebook has become an anathema because of the data harvesting. And I think that once that information gets out, a lot more people will drop off. I know there was a big drop when there was first congressional testimony. So I think that no matter what else we do on various media platforms, we should always have it at least on our platform.
Website. Okay. We'll place it on our website as well.
Thank you.
And we can address how the website can kind of grow as we move forward in the presentation. I actually have an alternative to being able to use the website or even social media that we'll talk about at the end as well, because I understand that there are some folks that don't even really want to get online at all. They would rather get a phone call at their house, and there's ways that we can do that, and we can explore it at the end of the PowerPoint.
Thank you.
Great. All right. So a snapshot of Facebook as we bridge talking to Facebook. The official city page has existed for a number of years. We post about 5 times a week, 2,700 followers. The fire department, Parks and Recreation, specifically Centennial Commons, and a number of boards and commissions also have their own pages. Parks and Recreation Centennial Commons page posts a lot about their programming, and it's great to have that all concentrated there for them, and there are some trusted individuals who oversee that and have been been doing a great job posting information there. There are other non-city sponsored pages exist, things like UCity on the Record, UCity Positively. There's a few others. They are monitored by us, but we certainly don't control those. Those are private pages that folks in the community have set up to share information and talk to each other. But we certainly do listen to those pages, even if we can't control any of the content therein. Twitter, we revamped it when I came in January of this year. The last post before that was in 2017. We post about 5 original posts a week, but we retweet about 20 a week. Things like the school district or other organizations in the area, lots of businesses, you know, if there's something going on, we like to retweet those things and get that information out there. About 1,700 followers. A lot of them are journalists, which is really why I've kept up with Twitter. It's the best use to get media information out to local outlets. That's really where I get the most back and forth. There's a few residents that sometimes like to talk to us, a few folks that aren't residents that also like to talk to us, but that's a good way to kind of reach media, and I do see a good return there. Instagram began in 2019. We post several times a month. Instagram, now that they've changed the algorithm to where it is not chronological, it's hard to use it for any information giving. But when we've got great events like our trunk or treat or something else, we certainly share those pictures. I know we shared a homecoming picture for those of you that walked in the parade, and it got a lot of attention. And it's nice to show folks just kind of the aesthetic of who we are. We have about 200 followers, so it's a little bit smaller. Some interest with millennial and college-age residents. It is difficult to spread information, but it is best to show off just how beautiful we are here. Our website in 2020. We are currently going through a redesign. We've been working closely with Civic Plus. It's a company that we've had a relationship with for a number of years. There was a contract signed about 5 years ago in which we have paid in a little bit of extra every year that guaranteed us a redesign this year, so we went ahead with it. We are excited about the new look. It will have a clear news and calendar feature, so that should hopefully help with getting those informative blasts out there. The search feature will be much clearer, calendar much easier to read. We have used data analytics to reorganize the information, and it will launch in January 2020. And if you'd like to see it, it will look something like this. It's a much cleaner look, in my opinion. The search function right up front. It's the number one thing people do when they go to the site. They go to search right away. City News, as you can see, these are just fake events. This is a mock-up. This is just a JPEG photo. But you'll be able to see that news and information will be there very easily. Also, you'll see right below the search button, there is a scroll button that will get you all the way to the bottom of the page and let people know to keep going. Because right now, we've had a problem with the photo being very large. So when you look on your phone, you don't realize that there's things below it. This will prompt folks to go down. This sidebar over here, public documents, applications and permits, a new addition, we will have jobs listed there. That is the number 2 searched item on our website. We did not have that anywhere. It was difficult to find before. Now it's right there for folks who want to look for jobs with us. Hopefully it will lead to more and better applicants. Then, of course, bill pay, make a request, and notify me. Notify me, let's see, here we go. Notify Me is a feature that comes with the Civic Plus website. It is run by Civic Plus. It's available on the website to send a message to residents when events or agendas are posted. You can sign up online, put in your cell phone number, your email. Actually, I believe it's only email with Notify Me. And you'll get an email when agendas are posted or events happen, just depending on what boxes you check when you sign up. There are a number of residents currently signed up. I want to say it's 500. I meant to add in 500 there today, but it just says number. It's 500. There are other options to this, options that are much more robust and options that don't require us to use Civic Plus, because I do like the redesign and I think it will be beautiful when it launches, but we aren't married to Civic Plus for the rest of our lives. We can certainly RFP for a new website if we're still unhappy with the functionality after the redesign. So I didn't want to necessarily continue a program that's tied to Civic Plus if we end up not using Civic Plus in the future for our website, which is entirely possible. So there's another other options. Nixel, Rave Alert, and Code Red are just 3. I know that I've worked closely with Fred Lemons over at the police department, because a lot of what people use these services for are emergency preparedness type things, letting people know when things happen. I know that there were a number of residents who were upset that WashU students had a text alert system and they would get to know about stuff, and then residents felt like they hadn't heard from us because we don't have a system like this set up. So looking at about $5,000 a year for a system like this is something that the police department and I will be working together on to make a proposal to you all for the future. Folks can sign up by just texting. They can opt in for either a phone call, an email, a text message, and that landline, that could be a landline phone or a cell phone. And that would be a way to let people know about things that are going on. Most of these also allow for a very targeted text and alert response. So let's say it's just something going on, a water main break on just one street. We can just send that message to just that street. So not all 35,000 residents of University City are getting a text message saying, you know, there's a water main break at the end of a subdivision street. They allow for a lot of really interesting communications options. So that is something that we're going to be looking at in 2020. And I think it's a really nice way to allow people to choose how they want to interact with us, what they want to know about, and what the best way is for us to get to them in the most efficient way possible. Public meetings and live stream. So currently we live stream all of our public meetings on the fifth floor of City Hall to both YouTube and Facebook. We've had some issues with Facebook. They have been changing algorithms, changing software, all kinds of different things that have caused some issues with us, but YouTube has been very reliable for us. We do have some older infrastructure, such as these microphones that we have right here, and they might need to be replaced in the near future. I know the batteries for these are very, very difficult to find. So that is something that we'll need to look at in the coming year. And in the next budget year, our servers will be replaced, so that'll be something, too, that will allow us some quicker infrastructure communications-wise. Press conferences and ribbon cuttings. In 2019, we had two press conferences or ribbon cuttings. We had one for the 170 redevelopment. That was back in May, I believe. And then we also had the EMS service returning. Both of those events were really great, and we enjoyed them, and I think we got a wonderful response from the public and from news outlets. The goal for 2020 is to do at least three. Potentially, we could do as many as six. That's one every other month. We just need to tell our story, but we want to make sure it's special. It's hard to do a press conference every time, you know, we start something small or something new, but it is nice to toot our own horn and really get people out. I know there's lots of parks projects coming up, street projects coming up, economic development things that we have on the horizon, and we need to celebrate all of those things. And so I know that we want to hear from the council as well as any residents about what kinds of events they really want us to celebrate, and I love to set up a good press conference. There's really nothing better than that. But I did want to know what the council's expectations were for events like that and how much you really want to engage with those type of traditional press events.
Mayor and Council, it will be our intention to invite you to and to work through you in the setting up of any ribbon cutting or certainly press conference. I think the ribbon cutting was the one that was more questionable. But in the future that, and so if you want us to go a different direction, then just let me know.
Okay. Moving on, the video program. I'm sure some of that you have seen. I know Mr. Rose sends out videos when we do them. Monthly, we have done department videos. Mr. Rose sits down with each department, talks about what kind of things they've got going on, gives people a little bit of an update. We've also done some updates on projects like the Forsyth improvement project that we did. That was wonderful. That was a really popular video. We got great feedback on that. The Del Mar Garage, beautiful mural going up soon. That'll be an event that we'll have. That'll be really great. It looks wonderful, but it was nice to have Libby be able to stand up and talk about what kind of safety improvements we've had there and what's going to be done in the future, and I think people like to see those kinds of things. A lot of city information on recycling. I think with the help of two interns from WashU over the summer, we did three different videos about recycling, and those were pretty popular. They're kind of fun, opportunity to be a little, you know, less serious and kind of tell people what they can and can't do with recycling. We do have more to come in 2020. I'm brainstorming now some of the different videos. We'll continue those department videos, just kind of cycling through, making a schedule of that hopefully we'll have for you very soon. And then just some other how-to type videos, how to get an occupancy permit for someone that's new in University City. I know we're also working on a new video for the website that kind of is more of a commercial piece, showing all of the wonderful things that we have here, all of the great businesses, all of our neighborhoods, just beautiful parks, all the great things that we have coming up. All of ours are hosted on YouTube, but we do publish them across our social media sites and on our website. And most get about 200 to 250 views now, but I'm hoping that as we post more and as we kind of get the word out more that we have them, that people will come back and reference them and take a look when they have the chance. The city calendar, 2020, Mannequins on the Loop. This year was kind of fun. We were able to combine some information on sustainability with the photos of those mannequins because, as we know, those mannequins, their outfits are made of found and recycled materials. So we were able to take a picture of the mannequin, list what materials were used to make that outfit, and then give people information on how to recycle that thing. It was wonderful working with Jenny Wendt, our sustainability coordinator. She had a lot of great information, and Arts and Letters was obviously instrumental and did a great job in picking out some really beautiful photos. And this year we have a very colorful calendar, and I'm very proud of it. We will look next year to incorporate more educational resources material into the calendar. I'm not sure what Arts and Letters will come up with for the next round, but I know that there will be a way to kind of tie some of the programming that we have into it, and it's just been a really great partnership so far. We will be placing the PDF of the calendar online. It's at the printer now, so hopefully it'll be at your doorstep very soon. Finally, internal communication. Email. Our staff has all been switched over to Office 365. This was a big deal and a big project, and I want to thank Mike Carlin for his really hard work on this. It was a big project, a huge undertaking, and just a lot of, you know, man hours getting there. This included all police officers. Anecdotally, we've heard that the detectives are really liking the cloud feature that allows them to share information in real time to a shared document. So basically, if folks are working on something, they can see an updated document in real time, and it's just much more efficient, and all of these officers now have email, some of them for the first time. 365 also resolves the issue of maxing out storage space. We've had a lot of folks where that was an issue, and no longer. We don't have that issue. And training will continue into 2020 as we learn more about the Teams feature, among other things that will really help folks share information better and just be able to be a little bit more collaborative.
Thank you. So, traditionally, council members have not had a city address, and that presents a problem with next door because they won't expand. For instance, I don't get access to my entire ward, and that's one of the problems with next door. I get access to Ladue and Clayton, but not to University City. And so in terms of communications, I think it would be a very good idea for council to have a city address, and that way all city business could come here, and there wouldn't be a question about, you know, whether it went to our personal addresses or otherwise. So I'd like us to consider that.
That's absolutely something that we can consider moving forward. And then an employee newsletter, that is something potentially to come in 2020. I know earlier I said really we have staff meetings and we have this wonderful 365 program, but we might be looking at an employee newsletter to come in 2020 just to increase communication between the different departments. You know, we've got us and Centennial Commons and the firehouses and the yard and folks are all over the place. So sometimes it's nice to have that. And now that every single employee has access to email, it'll be easier even to have that internal newsletter.
Are there questions by members of council?
Yeah. Hit my button.
Stacy?
Yes. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for your presentation. I had a few questions. The maintenance of the individual Facebook pages, that's the boards and commissions,
yes.
We know that they are not, they are volunteers.
Right.
And so I have concerns about the timeliness of the information presented.
Sure.
I'd be curious to get a peek at the infill review board Facebook page. Talk to me a little bit about how that works and how we support boards and commissions with maintaining those pages.
Sure. Not every board and commission has a Facebook page. In fact, most do not, as far as I understand.
Okay.
And those that do tend to not update them as frequently. Previously, I have not required them to register those through me. As you said, they are volunteers in these organizations. And some of them have come to me and asked me for help, and some haven't. So far, it's sort of just been me monitoring that, and I have not made requirements of what they can and can't do on their Facebook pages.
Okay. And had a couple more things.
Yes.
In terms of public meetings, that was listed as a strategy, as an outreach strategy. Could you say a little bit more about your vision for public meetings? Were you thinking just the standard council meetings, or are you thinking beyond that in terms of direct?
I know that when we've got a lot of big projects, things going on, I know Sinan Alpaslan's in here right now. We've been talking to MSD about setting up some public meetings about some of the projects that they have going on. I think there's one over on 82nd Street that's about to kick off in the new year. And so I have been encouraging different departments when there is the availability to have a public meeting, especially when we've got partner agencies like MSD, to really bring that together and have those, whether it's at the community center or here, or, you know, if we need to have it elsewhere. But that is something that I want to make a priority and make sure that we are putting that out there for folks to show up whenever they can.
And I'm glad to hear that. I know, in, certainly a veteran of public meetings, they don't often yield in attendance what we would like to see, but I do think there is benefit to us being out in the community that transcends the numbers of folks that are necessarily in the audience at that particular moment.
So. I understand. And then when we, the benefit of having a public meeting in a space like this is when we can film it and have it available online, it is there for reference.
Absolutely.
I know that earlier this year we had an unfortunate issue with the elevator, so we had to have a meeting over at the community center. We were able to use a camera from the library, and it wasn't live streamed, but we were able to upload that video to YouTube. So there is a documented video of that meeting, and we can certainly do that in the future if folks feel like, you know, we have a meeting and it's bad weather, or we have something that goes on that we just don't feel like maybe enough people were able to make it. There's always the option of being able to capture that on video. That's a little more accessible maybe than just the journal of a meeting or something else like that, but we do have that option.
And on the theme of public meetings, I know we had the information come back from the citizen survey, and I appreciate the administration doing that. I think that's important. Is there potentially, specifically as it relates to communication, a world in which we go a step further and engage actually our residents in some sort of focus group or whatever the appropriate mechanism is to say, hey, you know, we've gotten this information, let's dig a little deeper in terms of communication, what are the things you would like to hear, and perhaps that's already in the works.
So what's really interesting about that is that we, in January, I believe it's the first meeting of the year, the study session will be with ETC, the group that did the citizen satisfaction survey. So they'll come and they'll give us, you know, a whole overview. I've seen the presentation already. It's really great. It breaks down all the things that we're doing well and then some of the places where we certainly can find improvement and see where we can go in the future. From that, if we feel as though that there are certain places that we want more information, I think it's a great idea to open that up to a public meeting and have a listening session with folks if that's what they want to hear. But I know that they'll get a first look at that in early January.
And my final point is the idea of proactive, anticipatory communication. I've heard every now and then city councils may be involved in things that are controversial, may have to decide on things that perhaps does not please the entirety of the community. Oftentimes, the folks around this table and those we are in communication with know those things. We know them well in advance. We still have to do the work, but we know those things that are controversial and or just may need greater clarification, greater understanding on the part of the community. What's the philosophy about getting out in front of that, even if we don't necessarily proactively put something out, although I think there are times it's appropriate to do so, having kind of at the ready answers. And, you know, if the, you know, mayor is very keen on certain things, he may say, you know what, we may need to anticipate these questions. What's the thinking about that?
I'm certainly always ready to help put together any kind of Q&A sheet, fact sheet, talking points list that anybody would like on any given topic. I work together with all of the department directors whenever we have media inquiries or anything else like that to get that information solidified ahead of time before we do any interviews or anything like that. And so certainly that's something that can be at the ready for anyone that would like that from me. I'm happy to put that together. That's never a problem.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, just to add on to what Allison has indicated, our interest is in making sure that we get out complete and accurate information because, you know, anyone that has a computer can be a journalist these days. But the expectation of getting good information from a local government is vastly different than what it is for someone that just has a computer and decides to blog. So what we discussed is that initially we would say we would recognize that some incident has occurred. Something has occurred that we believe is media worthy, and we will recognize that, but we will also say if we don't have a comprehensive response at the time that we are investigating this or we are researching this, and we will get back to you once we have that comprehensive response.
Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor. One quick question. Of the 8,000 people that you're stating that are registered under Nextdoor and all of that, how many do you have a breakdown of the wards?
You know, because I don't have a breakdown by ward, but that's something that I could get from Nextdoor. They have an analytics that I can go ahead and download for
you. But you don't have that now?
I don't have it at my ready now. I don't.
It's important to know because then that can kind of tell us how effective that is in reference to the number of 8,000 and who actually is being reached in those wards, because I think Councilmember Carr mentioned this, and that most people, and we deal in a ward that most people are not connected. It's meaningless. So I'd like to know how effective that is in reference to each ward.
Certainly, and I know that when we look at the GIS maps from the Citizen Satisfaction Survey, we can cross-reference those and find that through that and how people in various wards say they like to be communicated with. I don't have those maps in front of me right now, but I know that that can be part of that presentation, or I can certainly pull that, you know, tomorrow, take all those maps and kind of look and give you a breakdown of each ward and how each ward has said that their preferences for communication and how effective they think communication is, because we do have the data on both of those things.
Another question you have, goal for 2020 is at least three, well, not that, but tell our story, but make sure it's special.
Yes.
That's the goal, but my question to you is, who are you connected with? Who in the media world in St. Louis County, are we connected with that will tell our story? That hasn't been done. That has not been done. The reporters seem to, and again, I'm not saying that I've read anything recently, but I'm asking the question is, they seem to want to drift to the negative part of the people that want, and so I'm asking you, who is it that you're connected with, or who is it that the city is connected with that will tell our story so that, you know, so somebody standing up or speaking for this city?
Sure. I think that there's two ways to look at this. First, there's a lot of different newspapers. I know we've got Mitch Schneider right here with West End Word, who comes to a lot of our things, and I feel like Mitch's reporting is often very good. The Post-Dispatch has covered us in depth recently. We've got TV folks from Channel 2, 4, 5 that I talk to all the time. But I think most importantly, when we do these events, we're connecting directly with residents. We talk to them through social media, we talk to them through roars, we tell our story directly by self-publishing. And I think that by live streaming events and by getting out there and letting people know what we're doing at these ribbon cuttings and inviting the public to come directly, I think that we are telling our story directly to the folks who live here.
Okay. Anyone else? I do have, go ahead, Jeff. I mean, I have a question afterwards, but go ahead, Jeff. My question is in reference to, it would be actually to the mayor, but that's afterward. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say I really appreciated a lot of the posts this summer. The Forsyth construction thing was something that affected the first ward. To me, the benefit, one of the biggest benefits, is just that communication with the residents. And we had an instance where during that construction, a curb cut was made. It was made pretty far out into Forsyth. We heard immediately from residents, and it was responded to. It was addressed. It was taken care of, and a following video was taken up. And I heard a lot of positive feedback about that. So I think that's the kind of thing where, you know, the city is listening, and those every touch, that was a very important touch that the city had with a lot of people in that neighborhood, and I think that is a value that's really hard to quantify.
Okay. Ms. Carr.
Thank you. So I'd like to echo my colleague, Mr. Hales. In particular, when the street collapsed in Ward 2, mm-hmm. you had a wonderful video that explained exactly, I know that the stations were covering it as something that we had neglected, but once you heard what the story actually was, I had a lot of people that calmed down. So I think that's very good. In the old days, my newsletter was a major source of information. I would have always preferred that the information come from the city, that the citizens got to hear, you know, what the city was saying. And I think that's being done. There's always room for improvement. We've just started. I think you're doing a wonderful job, actually. And of course, we're going to grow with it as we identify areas, you know, that of relative lack of reach or limited reach. And but I think it's been a sea change, in my opinion, how the city is actually reaching out to disseminate information, whether it's an MSD project or street projects or any of those things. It's and I know that there are many residents that don't have access to it. One of the things we may want to encourage our citizens to do is to use our library to get access to some of these things, because they have a whole bank of computers and librarians that would be happy to help them. So it's a matter of kind of training people, you know, or educating people where they can access this. But I think there will have to, it'll have to be multimodal.
Absolutely.
So thank you.
Thank you.
I do think that on some of this, when we talk about the press, I think the, at least in my years of experience, the press probably does tend to enjoy the negative side of the story more so than, and it's probably makes it harder for us to get the positive side out, because it's, the negative sells probably a little bit more and positive. By the time we get the positive out, we've already moved on to something else. One thing I would at least want us to reflect on before the decision's made, and I don't think it's been made yet, and that would be if, in fact, we scored so highly with our citizens on roars, then why would we cut back on the number of issues? I mean, if it scored that highly, it's kind of one of those things to me that I see where we're saving money by doing the design in-house, so we're already doing it for less than we did this year. Is that necessarily what we want to do if that scored so highly?
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, one of the things that we are proposing is not just the cutting back on roars, but it is indeed the expansion of our message through having those monthly many roars that would come out. So we're trying to do a better job of disseminating the information that we have. We're doing that not just through roars now, but also through videos and a number of other sources. But that is the intention for roars. We could certainly continue it. I think it's on every 2 months, but that might be excessive if we also are still interested in doing the monthly mini newsletter.
But the mini is correct. The mini is online.
Yes, that is correct. And it would not be mailed to households.
Yeah, I'm trying. I guess what my only thought again. My thought is a smoother transition maybe to start the minis, but to leave the roars in place for a while, because I think you know, clearly I get mine online. I get it, but I also will tell you that I still look forward to even getting mine in the mail. And if that's me at my age, then I got to think those folks who are older than me are going to say, I really don't care about your mini online as much as I do. I'd like to see something in the mailbox. So my guess is, if there's a way to just, if it's already done,
decision. That's the reason we're bringing this and having a discussion tonight. Okay. But I'm looking at Alice, and I believe we have capacity to do both, that we can continue at least over the course of the next year with WAR's distribution as it exists and still do the mini one.
Absolutely we can.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you. I think that point is well taken. I'm wondering if we can't, as Councilmember Carr said, kind of educate or train or over the next year with these mini roars to encourage people to sign up if they could be part of the listserv or whatever what that's called, so that the city could send that out. I don't know if there's analytics to see how many people open those, but if we could get people more in the ways of getting these by email, I think that would sort of help with that transition over time.
We can certainly make a more robust effort to educate folks on the fact that they can get ROARs via email. The listserv right now is relatively small. Folks have had to opt in, send me their email address in order to get it. But we can absolutely make a bigger push for that through the end of this year and into next year. And then if we decide that there is a time where we want to cut back on ROARs, I know a lot of my counterparts in other cities, and we are not other cities, we are who we are cutting back on their printed copies for sustainability reasons as well as cost-saving reasons, but we certainly don't have to do that. We can keep the status quo, work on these mini ROARs. I know that the reason that I was drawn to kind of looking at these online versions is because a lot of times with ROARs, even when it is every 2 months, we have to start gathering that information a month or a month and a half before it goes out. And so sometimes by the time that goes out, there is information that's incorrect. We've had that with leaf collection, among other things. And so sometimes that can cause confusion. So the idea with the more rapid mini ROARs is to kind of make sure that that information is the most up-to-date that it can be. But that, there's a lot of options for how to do this. I mean, there are some communities that do two large editions every year that are more like a magazine, and then do, you know, online only, otherwise email blasts. But then there's other folks that I think still do maybe like a monthly one-sheeter that they send out. So really there's a lot of different options that we can go through, and this was just one that we thought made sense for us, but certainly it's open for discussion and nothing has been finalized.
Right, we'll continue with it. I'm putting my plug in now for the mini one. We want to call it the Cub.
May not be the best in a Cardinals town, but that's okay.
That's a good point. I didn't thought.
Just wanted to give you a little retort on that one. That's pretty good for a guy who's not the biggest sports fan. I'm not sure who was first.
I don't know. Would
you go ahead. We could call it the growl, you know, instead of the roar. It's a growl.
Okay.
No.
I actually have a question. So I know that you email, or you intend to email, for the mini edition.
Yes.
But I'd like to see that on the website.
Oh, it certainly would be.
Some people that wouldn't want to provide their email to the city, but would be more than happy to know I can go there. So that's something you can put on Nextdoor.
Yes, it certainly would be. It would live on the website, and then I would link to it from Nextdoor, from Facebook, from Twitter. And then obviously the PDF would be emailed to folks that are on the listserv. That's what that will look like in the future.
I'd really just like to see more traffic at our website as opposed to just a holding place. And I think that kind of, again, educates people how much is actually there.
Sure.
So. Thank you.
Quick question, because I was thinking that this was going to be about the development project, and I don't really see anything about that. But the question that I do have is there any plans? Again, I'm talking about the people that aren't connected. There's going to be, if in fact this development takes off and it does in fact happen, there are going to be people that are going to want to know what's going on. There are people that are going to want to know what's coming, what's happening, demolition. Is there a way, are we prepared in reference to mailings? And it could just be a postcard. But we have to assure people, especially people in the Third Ward, and I would even say people in the First, we have to be assured that we're contacting everybody. We're letting people know. We're using every means of communications. And if that even means just putting a postcard in the mail, just advising and updating people that this is going to happen at such and such date, because not everybody, not everybody's connected, and that helps us a lot. Because we will get calls. I mean, you know, and I'm just asking if that's something that can be put into place and planned for the future. And the other thing, last question that I have, and I guess I'll address this to you. This is one that you put together.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The next question I have for the mayor, if I can ask that question before we move on, is specifically who asked for this presentation. If you could explain that. Who did ask for this of the council? You said that the council, or is it who asked for this specific presentation.
As I recall, it was one of the agenda items that we had from our planning session, and that we decided it was a number one priority, a high priority. I wouldn't say number one, but a very high priority. As I recall, the city manager and I talked about putting it on the agenda, and it appeared on the agenda.
Okay. All right.
A couple things I would say real quickly. I would think that in following up on Mr. Smotherson's comments about the communications, I think it would be probably wise for us to make outreach to some of the municipalities who have been through this before. So when they did all the Menards and the Sams and all that in Maplewood and Richmond Heights, it would probably be good to see what communication was used with some of their neighbors to see how we could learn from what they did well and lessons learned from what they didn't.
Yeah.
So it may be good to try to make outreach with those folks. And I think, secondly, the other thing I've always been curious about is now that we have mutual aid back, and we've got some numbers on the calls, it'd be interesting to make outreach even to the communities around us that we have mutual aid with and see what the reciprocal calls are back and forth. And to me, since that was, I believe, a very much a hot-button issue for a number of our citizens, it would be something that I would think that our public would like to hear about, and it may be something that the neighboring communities around us would want to participate in as far as getting that data out. Ms. Carr?
So I have one more statement, I like to know what the city is doing, and I like the official announcements to come from the city. But as council members, we have a responsibility to communicate with our constituents. And if we know that there are pockets of citizens in our wards that do not have good communications, there's nothing wrong with us sending out letters ourselves or calling for a ward meeting or a community meeting or things like that. While I like to see the bulk of it actually come from the city, I still think that we have a responsibility to communicate with our constituents, especially when I'm just saying this to my colleagues, when we know ahead of time that there's going to be a construction project that may, you know, be maybe problematic or, you know, may cause some other kinds of things. And we can decide how we want to do that. We can decide whether we want to have ward meetings or other kinds of situations, I know that Allison doesn't get the phone calls that I do from my constituents that don't use the internet, who are 80 plus. I get the call. They don't even want to send me an email. They want to talk to me. And so, you know, so I do make it a habit myself to call back and say to the, and it's not many people, but to call back and say, you know, something's coming up in your neighborhood or something like that. Or even drop, I used to do this more often, but even drop off little printed things, you know, that I have at their door. So while this program is a more comprehensive and a more ongoing thing, I think that, you know, that we too can take some responsibility for outreach, especially if we know that it's not easy to get a hold of somebody by normal communications.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, two issues. One is for the Olive and I-170 project, once we get to the construction phase of that, then we can write an article and include in that article a calendar of events. So we will be in a better position to know what is going to occur. Right now, we're simply in the property, or Novus is in the property acquisition, as well as identifying all the financing that's going to be needed. So it's more difficult to place a calendar at this point. The second issue has to do with establishing a tentative agenda for our study sessions. I tried to provide that information about 3 months in advance before an item is going to be coming before you. So when I send that information out, if there's any questions regarding what is being proposed as far as subjects that we will bring forward to a study session, please let me know and we can restructure those things.
In the interest of time, we have just a few minutes before the public meeting. To my colleagues, please know that we do have an executive session, a closed session after the meeting that we need to allocate time for. Thank you.